You have to bear with me today. I've been dozed off for the last 2 days. I've had a flu or a cold or whatever it is. So you have to bear with me. No pity at all. I should have expected it. No pity at all. Amen. God is good, yeah? All the time. I'm going to turn with me to Joshua. Book of Joshua. Chapter 24. Amen. Chapter 24. I'm just going to share a few thoughts this morning about the redemption of the Lord. And we're doing the four cups, aren't we? And one of the cups is the redemption of the Lord. And as Pastor asked me to share some thoughts on this kind of stuff, I kind of, you know, was seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, there's many ways that people can be redeemed, and there's many ways that people can be set free. But the word redeemed means to be bought back. So there's kind of a different point of view if you're looking at that. That redemption, to be redeemed, it's an old kind of accountant's word, if you like, an ancient word that means that someone has, or something has been purchased back. And I remember years ago, my father used to have a big 6-inch nail in the house, and he'd have all the dockets on it. And how he knew it, a bill was paid was a nail hole in it. That was his little system. Oh, no, that's paid. There's a big nail hole in it. And that's how he knew it was paid. It was redeemed. That invoice was redeemed. And then if someone came looking for money off him, and he had the docket, and if it had the nail hole in it, then he knew he owed him a few bob. And I always remember he had it on a big lump of wood. He had all the dockets on it. Made sure everybody got paid. But the word redemption means to be bought back. But it also means that there's someone doing the buying. There's someone doing the purchasing. And as part of our redemption, you have to try and understand that who is redeeming us and who is buying us back. Because the word is built into that it's not coming from you. And I love that about that. It's not coming from me. So someone is redeeming me, and someone is buying me back. And I want to put two examples in Old Testament and New Testament about the work of God in life, in our lives, and the heart of God towards humanity. And sometimes we miss that, and we're still trying to discover what God's heart is for us. And people come and say, and I said it myself, I wonder what God's will is for my life. I wonder what God wants me to do. I wonder where God has me. I wonder what God is doing. What God is doing this. What God is doing that. And I've been seeking the Lord about this, and even on my own life, what does God want me to do? And what God is saying to me personally, on a personal level, is He said, first and foremost, I bought you back. That's my will. And I'm like, wow. You know, because we're looking for the little tiny bits, aren't we? The little intricacies, tell me exactly what you're doing. You know what I mean? Tell me from hour to hour, minute to minute, exactly what you're doing. I've got to sit back and me, hold on for a minute. Just let's get one thing straight. I bought you back. You're mine. And I have redeemed you. And that should bring a security into your life that everything else is secondary. That everything else is kind of, you know, well, let's see what happens. Or Father, whatever happens, I trust in you. Because I know you own me. And it released me from a lot of kind of tension. To have to know what God's exact words is. And God, don't get me wrong, God does tell us precisely, but it's very rare and few parts between. Especially in my own life, I very rarely have God tell him precisely what he wants me to do. I know he said to me, go and I'll bless you. He said that to me many times. And so, the very fact that we're bought back or redeemed is an amazing thing. Amen? So let's look at, we're looking at Joshua 24, and the context of the scripture is that the Israel nation, because of their backsliding, or because of their lack of faith, weren't allowed to go into the promised land until a generation had disappeared. Until a generation had died off. That was God says, this generation does not see the promised land. And it was Joshua's generation. They're torn to go into the promised land. And you know, this is what's happening now. Joshua's coming to the end of his life. They're in the promised land, and And Joshua was saying to them, he's saying, now this is how you keep the promised land. This is how you hold on to it. This is what God's heart is for this nation. This is how you are able to sustain all the blessings that God has given you. And you see, the promised land is a type of the blessings, or a type of the freedom that God has given us, or the fact that we are set free and dwell in the land of freedom. And so Joshua is known as going to die, but also leaving a legacy behind him. And that's the legacy of faith. You with me? That's the legacy of faith. So it starts off with Joshua telling the people and all the tribes of Israel about what God is doing. But then all of a sudden prophecy breaks out. And all of a sudden God starts speaking to them, not Joshua. God starts speaking to them, and God starts to remind them all of what he has done. And God starts to testify. It's amazing, isn't it? God starts to testify about what he has done to bring remembrance to the people of Israel so that they can move forward in their lives and so that they can hold on to what they have. And it goes like this. It says, Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of all Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your father, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out of Egypt. You came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of the land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again. I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also Amorites, and it goes on there for a whole host of people that fought against them. But then God says, I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also, two Amorite kings you did not do with your own sword and bow, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And so if you put your finger on that, God is, if you go back again, it goes, I took, I led, I gave, I took, I brought, I presented. And God is sharing his testimony with these people about what he has done. I brought you through. I delivered you. I set you free. And he's declared to the whole nation about the testimony of God. And Joshua is speaking this prophecy about God, and he's declared it to the nation of Israel. And it's like God is speaking through him. And all of a sudden, then Joshua gets this breakthrough, and it says there in verse 14, it says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Now this is Joshua talking. And then he says, throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served he beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so it's an amazing thing, isn't it, that even though there's many miracles that are in full view, even though that the testimony of God has been with this nation, even though that that God has been speaking and moving amongst us. God still has to come and testify. Isn't that amazing about the human nature? That God still has to remind us. Remember where you were? I often have to scratch my head and remember where I was. But sometimes you forget about it. And sometimes you think, you forget about the condition you were in before God was in your life. Amen. And sometimes God has to remind you. Which in reality is a terrible thing. Because outside of God, there's another reality. And he says, will you go back and worship the gods beyond the rivers that your forefathers worshipped? And he's warning the people about going back into a place where there is very little testimony and very little proof that these gods were of any use to these people. And you have to try and understand this, guys. Nothing has changed in this day and age. The Bible said that there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing has changed in this day and age, that there still is the gods beyond the river. They still exist. The gods of your forefathers. The gods of your, if you like, of your family. They're still there. And they're still wooing us back. Come back across the river. And see, the significance of going across the river is a journey that's not going back. But the reality is we do go back, and we are enticed back. And these gods can make many shapes. And they have many names nowadays. Now, we all understand that, don't we? You know, the god of drugs and sex and rock and roll. You know, the gods our fathers worshipped. Drink, the god of drink. I think we can all hold our hands up to that one. Our forefathers worshipped the gods of drink. Money. The gods of money. They call us back across the river. And God is saying, but remember me. He says, remember me. I brought you back. I brought you across the river and away from them. And Joseph says, but will you go back? Will they entice you back? And it's so real for my life that we can get so sucked up in it. The God of possessions. Especially coming up at Christmas time. I was talking to a guy there, and it's like not too much money floating around. Three or four kids, and the pressure this guy is under to give his kids a good Christmas. And I'm like, saying back to myself, in my own life, what is a good Christmas? I remember a good Christmas for me was one present. I would look at a box of Ludo or something. I'm thinking, what's that? I don't remember what it was. And I'm like, I'm looking at my own kids and thinking, you're under so much pressure, aren't you? You can imagine your kids going to other kids in the block and going, oh, I only got a box of Ludo. That's why the kids are getting all these presents. That's the reality of it all, because the parents don't want to know what other kids that they didn't get. But the reality is that under severe pressure, conform. We're under severe pressure to give out an appearance of doing well. To give out a kind of an illusion. And you see, these gods are wheeling us back across the river. But they're wheeling us, what was across the river was slavery. That's what was across the river. God says, I brought you out. But now these gods are bringing you back in. And Joshua says, will you go back and worship these gods? And then he says an amazing thing as well. He says, well, also, will you worship the gods of the Amalekites where you now live? I'm thinking, what's that, Lord? I can understand the gods across the rivers, but he's saying, the gods in the promised land? And the Lord speaking, he says, yes. So even in church, people have gods. Even in the land of freedom, people have gods that entice them away. The god of the Amalekites, he said. And we can come into places like this, and religiosity can take us over. That we see, you know, we press the religious button and not the God, and I was in church on Sunday, everything's okay. And we just torn up. You know? We just torn up and kind of we think that's enough. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, I was there Sunday, wasn't I? And we can and I get sucked into that big time. I remember a fella saying to me one time, he says, Eddie, he says, what? He says, I'm a submarine Christian, he says. I was the only young Christian at the time. He was only messing with me, but affected me at the time. I was only a brand new Christian at the time. She said, I'm a submarine Christian. I said, what does that mean? She said, I only cook on a Sunday. And I said to me, the condition that I was in at the time, I says, I can't afford the only coming up on a Sunday. I can't do the only Sunday thing. I need all of them. I haven't got any of them. You know, and so we can worship strange gods in churches. Believe me, you, the God of self and the God of self-importance and all that kind of stuff. So Joshua warns them. And but the amazing thing is, because now I want this, if we can get this across, and we try and understand this, because God is out to sharing a testimony, right? He's out sharing, he says, I will, I have, I brought, I did, I done all that, which is an amazing thing. And he should go back now and underline all that. I brought you, I gave you, I set you free. But what I want you to do is, I want you to remember, let's try and remember the testimony of the other gods. Let's see what they're saying. Let's see how well they're communicating to us. Let's hear their testimony. Because Joshua says, before you make a decision, let's listen to them. What's their testimony? What did they ever do for you? How did they ever fulfill your life? How did they ever bring you across the river into freedom? And so, when I was studying this, I was going back and I was looking at my own life, my own personal testimony. For some of you who don't know, I come out of a heroin addiction. And it's an extreme thing, you know, but I'm looking back at that and going, what the hell am I doing here? What's his testimony? So, if I was in a crossroads in my life where things are changing and I'm in a crossroads where I want to go left or right, because this is where these people were. They were going to have to make a decision where to go. Right? And God knew this, and Joshua had assembled them all. And God was giving his testimony, and there he was saying, now look at the other gods. And I looked at my own life. Just say, if I was making a decision, or a big decision in my life, go, okay, let's see what money has done for me. Let's see what the God money has done for me. And let's listen to its testimony. But the reality is, it's done nothing for me, other than cause me to understand that I don't have much in life. That's the testimony of money. I'm enough of it. Unless I win the lotto. Well, the God money is shouting back, you don't have enough of me, ha ha. But your life would be greater if you get more of me. That's its testimony. It's amazing, isn't it? If you get more of me and you would be great. But you have to get more of me. Obviously, one is drinking drunk. Shout back at me, yeah. Me and you have a great relationship. Me and you have a great relationship. But the only thing is, I'm in charge. And by the way, I'm not faithful. Because when you wake up the next morning, you have to go get more of me. I do leave you. And I do forsake you. And I do let you go. And I do depart from you. And I won't be there for you unless you go and purchase me. But I have to be in control. I dominate, and I tell you where you're going and where you're not going. That's our relationship. That's the testimony of drinking drugs. And then there's the testimony of relationship. I remember I was doing a study class one time, and the pastor says to me, he says, Eddie, if you ever get married, don't ever put your wife before God. And I thought, that's easy. It's an easy one. No problem. I can see that line there. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah. Vicky's not God. I can easily go there with that. And so when I met Vicky and all that kind of stuff, that was a great understanding in my life. That, because before that, I used to have relationships with women, and it was a mad relationship, because jealousy and domineering and all that kind of stuff was very much involved, because you do make a god out of a person. And they have to perform like a god. And they can't make a mistake, can't get it wrong, can't do anything wrong. You're seriously jealous, and no one else can talk to them. Remember a fella telling me one time, he was suffering from jealousy, and he says, yeah, this is how bad it was, Eddie. And I said, well, tell us about it. He says, when we used to go out to the pub, I used to tell my girlfriend, now don't talk to anybody. And if you're going to a pub with 300 or 400 people, and then he used to say, don't look at anyone. Don't look at anyone. Imagine saying that to someone and all, like, and thinking that's the right thing to say. We're going out here, don't look at anybody. And that's what we do. But I tell you, when I heard that statement of don't ever have your wife as God, I couldn't understand that. But you see when my daughter was born, and I remember the two sons are very, very important to me, but girls are different in a certain way. But see when my daughter was born, and I always remember the night she was born, and it was a mad delivery and all that, because it was bright and all, there was nothing wrong with that, but it was blood everywhere. It was like a butcher's floor. And I remember, because Vicky kept it from me, she kept it from me for the whole pregnancy, that she wouldn't tell me what she was having, because she knew, and she wouldn't tell me. But I remember one day in my sister's house, and Vicky and my sister were talking, and I heard Vicky going, but she's done it on purpose. And I was fully convinced it was a boy. Fully convinced. I thought I snuck on her hair saying it. And we were having the baby anyway, and it was going on for hours and hours. And Vicky was in bits anyway. And all of a sudden, Hannah was born. And she was cold. And she was this, that, and the other. But because of Vicky was this, they pulled Vicky off the side and they handed me Hannah. And I absolutely held it. And then God says to me, then I knew. Oh God. You hear me? Then I knew. Because I couldn't know where the line was. And I'm like, what God? I remember, I was only sharing this a couple of weeks ago. God says, well, you need to hand her to me right now. Because I absolutely melted. Something happened spiritually inside me when my daughter was handed to me. And God was immediately on the scene. He says, give me more. And everything that was in me, every ounce of strength, I said, God, you can have it. And it killed me to say that. There was something deep within me that killed me to say that. But later on, I found out when God was speaking to me and counseling about this, he said, the reason why I asked you to hand her to me is because you would destroy her if she was your daughter. You would destroy her. She would not have a minute with you. Because we can't do that to people. The reason why I can love her now is because she's not my daughter. But can you imagine if she is? No, she has to be like this, and she has to do that, she has to go here, and she has to talk to that, and she has to go that, and you domineer her and destroy her. And that's why God says to me, give me her quick. Are you with me? So, there's a testimony of the other gods that are shouting back at us, but they've no testimony at all. They're empty and futile. If we can understand that this morning, that the testimony of the other gods are empty. They're going around the world all the time. And their testimony is, I dominate. I control. And I don't set you free. In fact, I cause slavery in your life. And it's an amazing thing. But when we understand that, and when we hear that story, Joshua says an amazing thing. And guys, there has to be a personal declaration. There has to be a moving away in your voice, in your identity, in who you are as a human being. There has to be a declaration. As for me. See, it's quite important that we hear that. There is a moving away in the mind, in the will and in the emotion, that as for me and my household, we will serve God. It's not just a speak this, there's an absolute depth to it. That I will listen to the testimony of the Lord, and I will reject the testimony of the other gods, but I will turn to the Lord. And as for me and my household, we will serve God. And that goes for every one of us in this room. We have to make that personal declaration that I will serve the Lord. No matter what, I will serve the Lord, because there's no other gods out there that have any value. And all they do is destroy me. You know, there's times when I fall flat on my face, yeah? There's times when I get it completely wrong. There's times when I'm not well and I'm sick. And there's times when I watch too much telly and I read the wrong books and I talk to the wrong people. There's times when I do that. But that's not to say that I am still turning to the Lord. I still turned to the Lord. I think that's the greatest testimony any man or any woman can ever share, is I got back to the Lord. I made my way back. And many times have we heard it, Sharon, and we used to tell you about it, about the amount of people that went through this church that don't go back, that go back across the river and go back and dwell in the land of slavery. We've seen it so many times, this church. So there's a personal declaration that I will serve the Lord, because the other gods, they don't serve me at all. They have nothing for me. Delivers me from my enemies. He slaughters the giants. He brings me peace, strength, hope. He brings a resolve into my life that was never there. He brings a sense of direction. He brings a sense of love and confidence. He says yes and amen. He says I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says nothing can pluck you out of my hand. He says that everything in God is yes and amen. He says I know your future, I know your past, I know your present. He says all your sins are forgiven you, past, present. He says that you're covered in the blood of the Lamb. He says your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. He says that when you die, you're going straight to Him in the twinkling of an eye. What other God offers that? What other God says that? What other God makes that declaration? What other God can do that for you? And that's, I know that's it's a crude way that God uses here, and it's a humbling way. And God, and shows you how humble God is, that He's prepared to share His testimony with us. It was up to me when I was born. It shows you how gracious God is, isn't it? He's prepared to remind people of what He's done for them, because they're so hard-necked, and they're so stubborn, me included. Let's finish, let's go to the New Testament, turn to Luke 22. Are you still with me? Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, have you got it here? Luke 22. Oh, God is good. All the time. Luke 22. Now, as Jesus was come to the end of His ministry, and He knew where He was going to the cross, yeah? And so Jesus was saying to the people, you know, this is my testimony. So we're back to it again. We're back to the testimony. We're back to God Himself declaring something to people. And He said it in front of all these people. He says, watch what I'm going to do. And He starts to share His testimony. He starts to declare, this is what I'm about to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for mankind. This is my testimony. This is my declaration. This is the new covenant. Whoa. This is the new covenant. In other words, what's a covenant? An agreement between me and you. Remember this. And just as a time, the Israeli nation were about to take the promised land and take hold of it, now God Himself was about to lead the whole world into the promised land. He was about to deliver mankind from their sin. He was about to make a new covenant with them. And he says, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. And He gave them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way He took supper, he took cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And just as God shared His testimony to the Israel nation, I brought you out. I delivered you from the hand of Pharaoh. I caused darkness to come into the land. I delivered you from the giants. I delivered you from Jericho. I delivered you from the kings. I delivered you from the Herodians and the Perizzites and all these people. I delivered you. Now Jesus is saying, I am going to set free from your sin. I am going to pour out my blood for you so that you can be forgiven. I am going to give you my body broken for you that you may be healed and set free. And God himself now is sharing his testimony about what he's about to do. And guys, can we grab that this morning? That God himself is declaring to mankind, watch what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you my body. And I'm going to pour out my blood so that you can be forgiven, separated, healed, and made right and redeemed. I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to buy you back with my body and with my blood. Watch what I'm going to do. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. Oh, Lord. Father, we bless you, Lord. Father, we worship you for your word, Lord. The worship team want to come back. Let's do a couple of worship songs. Let's get dancing here. Let's get dancing here. Let's remember the Lord. Let's stand. Isn't it great to remember the Lord and all the good that he's done for us? Isn't it great to remember the testimony? I remember being a hopeless drug addict from Bray. Didn't know anything or anybody or anything until God got hold of me. He laid his hand on me, sent people around me, and he set me free with his blood and with his body. He caused me to be born again and to come alive. And that testimony is still real to this day. That he's still working, still healing, and still setting free. So, if you want prayer, come up. If you want to experience this God, and if you want to reject the testimony of your old gods, come up and we'll pray for you. But let's worship God together, amen? Let's praise God and bless his name. Jesus.